guys. Welcome back to the Art of Suffering podcast with Dalton Darnell. We are back on the Forever Loved book by Dr. Mike Darnell. Sorry. It's taken me so long to finish this thing. We got three more chapters, I believe. We're going to get them all knocked out tonight. It is about, 10:30. I was laying in bed, went to bed about an hour and a half ago, and could not go to sleep. Partially because I was thinking about this book and finishing it, partially because I was thinking about the own book, my own book I'm trying to write, and my brain is just cranking off. So life's been really, really crazy the last month or so, and so I have not jumped back on the Forever Love book, but we're going to get her done this evening. We're going to get this monkey off my back, learn what else we need to learn from Granddad, and then be on to the next book, which I got several up here that I would love to dive into with you guys. So let's jump into chapter 5. It is How God Views Death. This is a little bit different for me. I haven't dealt with death very much in my life, but we did just have a miscarriage. Kara had a DNC. I talked about it in an episode a week or so ago. I want to apologize to every person that I've ever been in contact with that told me they had a miscarriage, because my initial reaction to this was just like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, kind of on to the next one. And if you are like me and you believe that life starts at conception, and you believe abortion is wrong, then there's no way, other way to look at that little baby in there than that thing was absolutely alive. It was absolutely mine, and it absolutely died. And I kind of came to this conclusion. I was cleaning out Kara's office at her shop there, and I found the ultrasound, the first ultrasound, and it's got, you know, the picture and then an arrow pointing to the baby, and it's in all caps. It's like, baby. And I was like, man, should I throw this away? And my initial reaction was, yeah, I'll just throw it away and not think about it. But that's not how I chose to look at this. I cut that one. There's four pictures there on like a sleeve of pictures. And I cut that one off and I got it in my car. And it's not to like torture myself, but it's to remind myself that baby was there, that baby died, and that baby is in heaven with Jesus right now with no pain, no suffering, and absolutely waiting to meet me when I get there. And I think that's how I should look at it. And it's an exciting thing to know that Jesus is holding that little thing and loving on that little thing for me until I'm there with her or her, him or her. So anyway, How God Views Death. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. My child, has it ever occurred to you how I might feel about you? Has it drawn upon you that you are the apple of my eye, engraved on the palm of my hand? Or how valuable you are to me right now. It hurts me when I see your fear and anxiousness concerning death, for I know that fear is there only because of your perception of death. The unknown also makes you afraid. If you could see death from my perspective, peace and comfort could become your friends, your father. Now let me remind you guys that Granddad was writing this fighting terminal cancer, stage 4 lymphoma. So, I mean, he was looking death in the face when he wrote this chapter. Death from God's perspective. Death for most of us is a great mystery which brings emotions of dread and fear. Few feel comfortable even discussing the matter, for the mere mention of death conjures up negative thoughts and feelings. It is difficult for us as created beings to comprehend God when he says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones." Psalm 116:15. Precious in his sight. He must have a different perspective, an entirely different vantage point than you and me. Would you be afraid of death if you were there, if there were no unknowns concerning what happens to us, where we go, what it is like to be buried, how soon will I get to heaven, what is God going to say to me when he sees me? It would certainly help if we had a few more cards in our hands. It's important to remember that we humans are created beings. We are his workmanship, created for his pleasure. He has designed us. We are his. We belong to him, and we have been created for an eternal, intimate relationship of which this fallen body is a hindrance. Paul says that the body groans for its redemption. The spirit of man has much more eternal destiny than just being cooped up in this body on earth. Most of us, when we think of death, think of the pain of loss, leaving, going away, separation, rather than total redemption, coming to eternal union, or going home to a place you have never been. We view from man to God, rather from God to man. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus is telling his disciples what only God knows. However, one moment after death, man too shall know. Jesus is basically saying, don't be troubled about it. In the following paragraphs, let's climb into our Father's lap and attempt to see death through his eyes and from his perspective. For that is truth and reality. Truth and reality alone can bring peace and comfort. Higher and lesser reality. There is a higher and lesser reality. The higher reality is the realm where God dwells. I'm not sure where that realm is, up or down. It could be just outside of his dimension of time and space. That realm is the eternal realm. Remember when the Romans asked Jesus where his kingdom was? His answer was, "My kingdom is not just of this realm." Jesus left that higher realm, took the form of a man, and stepped into linear history for the purpose of redemption. The earth is the realm for us earthlings, but it is the lesser reality and shall pass away. Everything around you is temporary and temporal. Your house, car, children, body, everything you can see will pass away. Tomorrow it will all be yesterday's and will become history. But there is a higher realm, which is the real realm, that is eternal. Some say eternity is a long time, but really eternity is no time at all. Time was created for us earthlings. The Bible says that there will come the time when time shall be no more. Ecclesiastes says that God has put eternity in our hearts. There is a longing in each of us that I call destiny. We are destined for that eternal realm where the creation and the creator will dwell. Could death be that doorway or gift that God gives to liberate the creation to his creator? Due to the fall of man, Paul says this body groans for its redemption. This body is not perfect. Sin has affected it. The body is much like a tent, a tabernacle, a house, or as Dr. Bill Graham in his book Lifetime Guarantee describes it, an earth suit or a throwaway container. One day the eternal part of man will eject this earth suit and the creation will enjoy the presence of its originator. This body is not you or your spouse or your children. It is only a temporary house for a brief season. Shortly after Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, on the Damascus road, Paul was called up into the third heaven. 2 Corinthians 12:2. He saw into the real or higher reality. He, for the first time, saw things the way they really were, not the way they had appeared for him for most of his life. It was great. Death was no longer feared. He could really say, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Paul saw the way it was in the higher reality and challenged the way it appeared in the lesser reality. Death then was reduced and described as much like falling asleep. While I was in the pastorate, a dear friend of mine called, sobbing, unable to talk. I asked, "Bill, what is the matter?" I knew something terrible had happened, for Bill was a man's man, not given to this type of emotion. In a few moments, he blurted out, "Mike, do you believe in the resurrection of the dead?" I was speechless as Bill sobbed uncontrollably. I finally got bits and pieces of the story. Bill had taken his 11-year-old son and his 10-month-old baby boy to a place where moments were made to get to a place where monuments were made to get his truck sandblasted in preparation to be painted. Jamie, the 11-year-old, was taking care of the baby while Bill was tending to the truck. A freak accident happened. Jamie, playing with his younger baby brother, sat the child on a tombstone which was not anchored. The child stiffened up while sitting on the tombstone, causing the stone to totter. Jamie backed up and the baby fell off in the front of the stone. The stone fell on the child, breaking his neck. The child died in his father's arms. Bill, in shock, had called from the monument company asking if I believed in the raising of the dead. I told Bill that we would be on the next plane. I remember praying on the plane, "Lord, you must let me see this incident the way you do, with an eternal perspective. This can't be just another funeral. I hurt so badly for our friend, their precious children. What do I say?" I used 2 Samuel 12:23 that described how King David, seeing his son near death, changed from his rich robes to sackcloth and fasting, hoping his beloved son would live. 7 days later, the child died. David once again put on his luxurious garments and sat down to a feast. When friends asked King David how he could eat with his child just having died, he replied, "My son cannot return to me, but I can go to my son." A friend of mine saying, "It is well with my soul." I remember well how God's grace was sufficient for that hour. I felt God had prepared a special place for me and the family so that we could see the higher reality concerning death. It did not take away the tears or the terrible pain of loss of our friend, but knowing eternal truth did offer comfort and hope. Death, graduation to glory. In 1992, Design for Living Counseling Ministry was hosting Dr. Bill and Annabelle Gillum for a Grace Life Conference. The conference started Sunday night through Wednesday. That Tuesday night, my dad died. I called Bill and he said, "Go be with your family. We have the service covered." Wednesday morning, my 6 brothers and I marched my mom through the funeral arrangements, so Sue and I went to the funeral, the final lecture of Bill Gillum. You have to picture that with me. Bill was originally a professor at Oklahoma State University before he discovered his identity in Christ. He had a strong oaky accent and was very down to earth in his relationship with God. Very refreshing, actually. Sue and I were on the front row. Bill gets up to speak. I don't know if you are aware of it, but Mike's dad graduated to glory last night, and I would like for those around Mike and Sue to lay hands on them while I pray. Here's what he prayed. "Sir, I have always wondered what Lazarus felt when he was in your presence for 3 whole days and he got the call to come back to planet Earth. I know he was disappointed. "Sir, we can't talk to Bud right now, but you can. And would you tell him that the gang here at Fraser said congratulations on his graduation to glory, and we will be on shortly." I've never forgotten Bill's prayer. After the service, Bill gave me a small Swiss knife and sent me a book called Death, Graduation to Glory by C.S. Lovett. Everybody likes to graduate. I've often told my counselees, it's one thing to have the ship in the storm, but another thing to have the storm in the ship. Most Christians believe that a faithful God will deliver us out of the storm rather than deliver us in the storm. It is my sincere desire that God will use this book to reveal truth that could never have been experienced or understood had it not been for the times of hardship and suffering. Joseph, after having been sold into slavery by his own brothers, declared, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about his present result." Genesis 50:20. "I pray that soon your sorrow will be turned into joy. Weeping may pass for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." Psalm 30, verse 5. H.G. Spafford, after hearing the news that his family had been lost at sea, must have seen into that higher realm when he wrote, "It is well with my soul." "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like a sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, thou trials should come, let this blessed assured control, that Christ hath regard my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, this bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Lord, hast the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." Paul views death as falling asleep. Paul and Jesus use the expression falling asleep, also used in the Old Testament, to describe death. Falling asleep brings harmless emotion to the mind. Death can be so final with an uncertain and untested future, but sleep is a welcome friend. You are confident of waking up, refreshed and ready to take on a new day. I love to sleep. The truth that in death we've only fallen asleep, and that there is a resurrection is an anchor of hope to the human spirit. Perhaps we too should trade in our concept of death for Paul's concept, that of merely falling asleep. Life comes out of death. One of the greatest secrets in the kingdom of God is that we truly live by dying, and life comes out of death. We experience this every spring of the year. Satan did not understand this, or he would not have killed Jesus. When Jesus died, he tasted death for every man and became the first fruit in rising from the dead. He took the sting out of death for us. Satan delivered his hardest punch, all that Satan had. He unfurled at Christ. He thought he had won, but Jesus took the punch, received it, embraced it, and returned the punch in the resurrection. O death, where is your sting? The sting and fear has been taken away, swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was also aware that if we were ever to be changed into his likeness, this perishable throwaway container body would have to be sown into the ground and die like a seed in order to get our imperishable body. This present body is only the shadow of the reality. We have bore the image of the earthly. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. However, our earthly bodies of flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God, so we have to eject or discard it. Some people discard these bodies through accidents, old age, and others through casualties of war. Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may awaken him out of that sleep." James was the first of many to die for the gospel. He was willing to die because he knew Jesus had conquered death. Death became a doorway into the higher reality, eternal life. I hope that in my hour of death, whether it is my own failing body or the sudden death of those close to me, that through my tears and seeming loss, I can view death as sleep. I can view death as sleep and a part of God's secret plan to liberate me from this earthly tabernacle and declare, "O death, where is your sting?" And this says, "I'm free. Don't grieve for me now, I'm free. I'm following the path God has laid, you see. It took his hand when I heard his call. I turned my back and left it all. I could not stay another day to laugh, to love, to work, or play. Task left undone must stay that way. I found peace at the close of the day. If my parting has left a void, then fill it with remembered joys. A friendship shared, a laugh, a kiss. Oh yes, these things I too will miss. Be not burdened with times of sorrow. I wish you the sunshine of tomorrow. My life's been full, I savored much. Good friends, good times, a loved one's touch. Perhaps my time seemed too brief. Don't lighten it now with undue grief. Lift up your hearts and peace to thee. God wanted me now. He set me free." Author unknown. I actually had a conversation with my mother about this today. And I told her, I was like, "Man, when I go down, don't be crying for me. Like, dude, y'all throw a party because earth kind of sucks. Like, my wife is incredible. My children are a gift. And I find joy in the blessings God has given me every single day of my life. But, dude, I am being miserable every day sucks. Hurting every day sucks. And anybody my age or older is probably experiencing this to some degree, but it's the earth suit, man. The earth suit sucks. And so I miss Granddad, and I miss his wisdom because I took it for granted, honestly. I went to that guy about everything, but I know where he is at, and I know that there is no pain there, and I know that he is hanging out with the King, and he finished the race well. So what a gift. It's an amazing thing. But I don't know. I'm going to dive right back into the next chapter in the next episode. The next chapter I'll post next week. Don't want to make these too long, but I'm telling you guys, like, finding your identity in Christ and then walking in that identity changes everything about the way you view the world, or it has for me. It's changed everything about how I look at other people and expect things out of other people. There's no expectation. If you're walking outside of your identity, there's no way to be right. There's no way to do it right without understanding the identity. And we'll get into identity and every episode from here on out. But I think Granddad does a really good job of laying it out. I probably don't do a great job of reading it, but as always, guys, my email is dalton@310.edu. Please reach out if you need me. Let me know what you think about the podcast. We kind of got us a new setup here, trying to get the YouTube growing, trying to help 310 grow and all the things. So we're struggling out here, but we're going to keep after it. We're going to do our best to steward what God has given us well. And that's what we're going to do. Y'all hang in there. Never weaken.